Father, we just thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word to us, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that we will be those people who we will allow you to mould you and to make us, Lord, the people that you want us to be as a corporate body, but also as individuals. Lord, we just pray today that our hearts will be totally open to your Holy Spirit. Lord, because we acknowledge we can do nothing without you, and we acknowledge that we as a church need you. We need your presence. And we just pray, just come and have your way with us this morning. Lord, we pray that our hearts will actually hear what you're saying, Lord, that our spirits will hear, and that we will respond, Lord God, to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I just feel very, very heavy-hearted at this time for this nation, because I believe we are in a very critical time. I know we've got a general election, but it was critical even before we were having an election. And I think it's very important where we go at this time in our history. I believe God has got plans and purposes for us, and we need to find out God's heart. And we, the church, we've got a part to play. I really believe this. And I believe that God wants us to learn how to pray powerfully and effectively together. I don't believe that we have got any idea the power of prayer or the authority that Jesus has given to us as a church. I don't just mean this church, but the church. When I say the church, I mean the church in this nation at this moment, you know. You know, all the things that are happening, I believe, you know, the government can only do so much, but we've got some keys and we've got prayer, and I believe there's things God's wanting us to do. So I just want to look at Acts 12 just for a minute to see how the early church prayed, because over the years, you know, years and years ago, God spoke to me about corporate prayer. And I didn't know much about it. I just knew it was important. I did go to prayer meetings. I knew it was important to pray, but I didn't totally understand why. And there weren't books about corporate prayer. There was lots of books about individual prayer, but not corporate prayer. And then God just began to... He brought a book across my path, and he just began to teach me. And really what I'm going to share with you today is just things I've learned on my journey, you know, the things the Lord's taught me. So let's just look at Acts 12. This is the story, if you remember, where the church was being really persecuted, that James, the brother of John, had been put to death, and Peter had been arrested and he was in prison. And in verse 5 it says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." That is just so powerful, isn't it? And then what happened? That night, before Herod was going to bring him to trial, talk about leaving it to the last minute. You know, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was bound with two chains, and there were sentries stood guard at the entrance, and an angel appeared. You know, when we start to pray, we don't know what is actually happening in the spiritual realm, and that's sometimes where we give up, don't we? I think over the years we've given up far too soon when we've been praying, even corporately. We give up too soon because we can't see anything happening. But, you know, when we start to pray, something is happening in the spiritual realm. And so this angel appears and he struck Peter on the side. He told him to get up, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. That's the power of prayer. And not only that, he put on his clothes and his sandals. He wrapped his cloak. He just following the angel, thinking he was having a vision. He didn't think it was real. And he followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea what was happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first... He was invisible to the guards. They couldn't even see him. You know, that's actually happened in reality when people have been taking Bibles into Eastern Europe. And they've had the Bibles in a case... And the guards have opened as they were crossing the border. They've prayed, shut their eyes. And they don't even see the Bibles. You know, this is the power of prayer. So the gates of the city opened by itself. Wow, gates can open just when the church is praying. And then he walks the length of the street and the angel left him. And he goes to the prayer meeting. And he said, where many people had gathered and were praying. And they were amazed. They couldn't even believe it was Peter. Oh, you can't be. You're kidding, aren't you? Peter's at the door. Sometimes, you know, we find it hard to believe that what we've been praying for has actually happened. That's just one instance where the church was praying. I just want to go to Acts 4 now. This is my favourite prayer meeting, this. This is one I would like to have been in. This is where the Sadducees, the priest, the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John, and they were greatly disturbed that the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized them and they put them in jail. But many heard the message and believed. And the next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem because they wanted to see what they were going to do. And they had Peter and John brought before them and said, by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead. But they wanted to stop the preaching. They wanted them to stop talking in the name of Jesus. But to stop this thing spreading, we must tell them they mustn't speak in this name. What were they going to do? Go into hiding? Run away? This is what they did. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. So they went to God in prayer. And they said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. We could say this today. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the air take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. This is happening today. We're in a spiritual battle. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Wouldn't you like to be in a prayer meeting like that? Amen. I would. Amen. I wish I'd have been there. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the power of the church. This is what we hold in our hands. You know, and in Matthew 18, 19 and 20, it says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And we always take this to mean, we know he's here now because we're gathered together. But when we gather together to pray, he says, I'm in the midst. He's here to help us to pray. Because we feel so inadequate, don't we? You know, and he says, if two of you ask anything in my name. Now, this is the prayer of agreement. It doesn't mean that we'll just come together and say, right, what can we agree on? We'll just decide what we're going to agree on and we'll pray and it'll happen. No, it's when God reveals his will and his heart and we come into line with it. Because sometimes we're not in line with the will of God and we need to come into line. When we come to a prayer meeting, we don't come in with our own agenda. We come in and we all come as one to hear the Lord's voice, don't we? And we want to come into line with whatever he reveals. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm not interested in anybody else's will. I want to know what God wants to do, and then I want to pray it. You know, and this is what we should be wanting to do. Now, I know some people really have a problem with prayer meetings and have a problem with prayer. And And I think it's because we feel really inadequate, and you may be saying, well, I can't pray like them. I'm not very good. My vocabulary is not very good. I don't know what words to say. I'm just not very good at praying, you know. I can't pray like that person. Well, God doesn't want you to pray like anybody else. You are unique. You can nobody else can pray like you. Nobody else can see things like you do. So when we come together, we're getting all different things that the Lord's revealing. Like I was saying the other night, it's all pieces of a jigsaw, and then we get the complete picture when we're together. So I just want to show you something in Romans 8:26. It's one of my favourite scriptures, this. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit. Okay? Do you know what? There's not one person in this room knows how to pray. Not one of us, but the Spirit. And I think, you know, we have really neglected the Holy Spirit. In so much of what we do, we neglect him. God's just been speaking to me so much about the Holy Spirit and how much we need him. And one of the things, you know, I've learned so much over the years in my own prayer life and praying with other people. There's nothing like just working with the Holy Spirit. He knows the heart of God. He knows what needs to be prayed. He empowers us. He envisages. He's the one who gives us the burden to pray. We wouldn't pray. There's not one of us here that would pray if the Holy Spirit didn't put us on our hearts. He actually tells us what he wants us to pray. He will burden us. He will give us that desire to pray and to stay with it. I mean, I've stayed with some things for years, and in the natural, I wouldn't be able to do this. I would give up. I would lose heart. But when God puts something in your heart by his Spirit, you can't let it go. You've got to keep. I've been praying for this nation for over 30 years. I'm not about to give up now, you know, because God's put something in my heart. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is just so amazing in prayer. I'm learning more and more now. There's a couple of things happened to me in the last few weeks, and I've thought, wow, that is awesome. I was praying about a situation recently, and I prayed a word, and I thought, I've never ever spoken that word before, never mind prayed it. I didn't even understand what it meant. I had to go look it up in the dictionary. And that's the Holy Spirit. So you might say, well, I haven't got the words. Well, the Holy Spirit has. So when once I knew what the word meant, I was to go even further into prayer. I had really started speaking the word out then, speaking this word into this situation and speaking to the enemy, because this is what God wanted to do. And I believe this is what God wants us to do. But if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit, we're not aware of him. What I do is usually if I come to a situation where I don't know what to pray, I just say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray for so-and-so now, or I'm going to pray about this situation. I don't know what to pray. Will you help me? That's all we need to do. And you start off, you know, when you start off in prayer very often, you start off in the flesh, and you're a bit wobbly. Oh, I don't know where, you know, and you're a bit like this. You know the story of the eagle? You know, the eagle kicks its babies out of the nest, and while baby's falling, wondering what's going on, the mum just comes up underneath and goes like that, soars up and catches the little one. Well, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we start to pray, the Holy Spirit comes underneath, and the next minute you're soaring in the spiritual realm. And it's just amazing when that happens. And I'm not saying the prayer's always that easy, because it's not. Sometimes prayer is really hard, because first off, the flesh doesn't want to pray because we're lazy and we don't want to be bothered. Or if you're starting to pray into a new area, the ground is really hard. It's like going into a garden that's never been, hasn't been dug over for years, and you think, oh, this is really hard. So if you're in a prayer meeting and it's really hard going, just think, there's a spiritual atmosphere in everything that we pray. There is a spiritual atmosphere, and we have to break through whatever that is that's in the way, the blockage that's there. You know, there's different, every meeting is different and everything we pray for is different. You know, there's a different feeling about it. I remember years ago when we were doing prayer strategy, I'm sure Sue will remember this. It's like we had a picture of a garden. We were praying into this area. I think it was to do with fellowship here. And the ground was empty. There were no plants in this ground at all. And we were going in with our spades and digging, as it were. When we were praying, it's like we had a spade and we were digging in the ground. And that's what prayer is like sometimes. And by the time we finished, the garden was full of flowers. There were all sorts of flowers. And that's what happens when we pray. When we pray together, something is actually happening. There's a work taking place. And you can come out of a prayer meeting and feeling, goodness me, I feel like I've done a day's work. I feel exhausted. But that's the way, that's normal. We should be exhausted because it's a spiritual work. It's not a fleshly work. So, and also it's really important about our own personal prayer life. It's very difficult to come in and pray with others if you're not spending time in your own walk with the Lord. You and I need a personal day-to-day walk with God. How much are we bringing him into our daily life? Are we talking to him, fellowshipping with him? How are we praying for our family? You know, as someone said, that we're going to rule and reign. I know it says that in Scripture, we're going to reign with Christ. But, you know, one day we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Well, we need to start doing it now. We need to be reigning in our situations. You know, when the enemy comes against your children, your family, you have authority, you parents, to say, stop. You know, you can speak to the enemy and tell him, you get your hands. I've done this with my daughters. You know, times when they've been going through a difficult time, as I say to them, you get your hands off my daughter. You've got no authority here. And the more we know the word of God, the more we can pray the word of God. We need to get soak in the word of God on a daily basis and have fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Get to know him. I really feel God is saying to this church that we need to get, I said this the last time when I spoke about getting to know the Holy Spirit, because he's a real person, and you know, you can feel his heart. I mean, I can feel the Lord's heart now for this nation, and he's weeping. I believe he's weeping over this nation. We have got a Christian heritage here, and we do not want to lose this, and I don't believe God wants us to lose it either. But you know, he talks about us contending for the faith. We need to be contending for the faith. Amen. The faith, not like Prince Charles says, faith, but the faith. There's only one faith, and we do not want to lose the benefits. I don't want the people of this nation to lose the benefits. So on a daily basis, we're talking to the Lord about everything in our family life, and when the enemy is coming against us, we deal with it there and then. Don't leave it. You know, we don't pray enough. We don't bring the Lord enough into our daily lives. Anyway, I'm going to go to Ezekiel 37 now. This is a really well-known passage. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm reading from verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord, So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is such a powerful passage. Notice the hand of the Lord was upon him. And he brought me out by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us out and sets us into situations. It's his work. And he brought, and sometimes he'll set us in a really barren situation, a really barren place. It was full of bones. Well, you can't get anything more barren than that, can you? A valley full of bones. And not only that, but he led him to and fro in the valley amongst all these bones. Do you remember Abraham looked at his body as though it was dead? You know, he was an old man. Sarah was she's well past childbearing. He faced the situation full on. You can't get anything more dead than this, you know. And this is a bit like this, isn't it? He led him to and fro among the bones. And he had to look at all these bones. And he saw a great many bones. And the bones were really dry, so they'd been there a long time. They'd completely dried out. There was no nourishment in them at all. And then he asks him a question, and he says, son of man, can these bones live? What? You must be joking. Can these bones live? You know, and he says, well, you know, Lord, you know. And then he's not only that, but then he says, I want you to prophesy to these bones. You know, sometimes God asks us, doesn't he, to speak into situation, and there's death there. And you think, can any life come here? So the Lord says to him, prophesy to these bones. So he had to speak. Now, Rob last week was talking about asking prayer. Well, I just want to speak about prayer where we're speaking to situation. Because I believe God, you know, he said to us about coming up a level. I believe this is a level God wants to bring us up, where we speak to situations and command the will of God to be done. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Notice it wasn't Ezekiel's word, it was God's word. So when the Holy Spirit gives us a word, it's going to come to pass because it's his word. It's got his anointing, his spirit on it, and it goes forth with power. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will. So he's speaking to the bones. This is what God's saying. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. He wanted them to know, I'm the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So it's speaking the word the Lord tells you to speak. And as he was prophesying, there was a noise. Something's happening now in the spirit as he's speaking to these bones. A rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons of flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. Still no breath, still no life. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Imagine God telling you to do this, you know. This is what God wanted him to say. He had to call from the four winds, "Oh breath, oh, wouldn't that be fantastic? Come, 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 breath." This is the way I believe God wants us to pray. You know, I believe God wants us to connect up with him in these days. There are so many things he's wanting to do, and he's looking for a man and a woman who will be hearing him and who are willing to speak the words. There was a word given here the other Sunday by a sister who was visiting, and she said, "We need to pray like we've never prayed before." And you only have to look at our nation to know we need to pray like we've never prayed before. "Come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet. I mean, you'd be staggered, wouldn't you? Right in front of your eyes, this is happening. And this is fabulous. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." This is Israel God is speaking about. You know, God is faithful to his promises. This has happened. "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." And they say, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off." That's what they say. It wasn't beyond God. "Therefore, prophesy and say to them," this is what the Sovereign Lord says, "O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from, I will bring you back to the land of Israel." This is happening today. It has happened, it is happening, and we can't deny it. The word of God is being fulfilled, and there are people travelling back. Sometimes we've seen films of plane loads of Israeli, you know, people, Jewish people, going back to the land of Israel now. Amen. God is faithful to his promise. We need to know he's faithful to his promise. If he's made promises to Isaac, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and he's fulfilling his word. He's fulfilled it and will completely fulfill it. And he says, "I'll put my spirit in you and you will live and I'll settle you in your own land." He's given them their own land. Amen. But you know, God is looking in Ezekiel 22. It says this, and it's very challenging. This is what the Sovereign Lord says when verse 30. "I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord." God says, "I looked for a man or a woman who would build up the wall, someone who will stand before me." You know, Abraham stood before God on behalf of Sodom, and his family came out because of his prayers, came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of standing before God. And I believe God wants us to stand before him on behalf of this nation. And we did that the other night, and I believe in the days ahead we will be doing it. I just want to go to Judges now. I just want to speak about a woman I really admire, and her name's Deborah. You know, talk about God looks for a man or a woman, someone who's available to God, someone who'll be willing to speak the words that God wants to speak, to be obedient to what he wants to do. So in Judges 4, in verse 4, it talks about Deborah. She was a prophetess. She was holding court. She was a leader in Israel. And it says in verse 6 that she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." Wow. The Lord commands you. It's a bit like when the queen commands people, isn't it? And he said, "The Lord commands you. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops in the Kishon River." So he's telling him, "This is what I want you to do, but this is what I'm going to do." while you're going and you're going to do, you know, he's going to do the will of God and go to this place, God says he's going to lay Sisera. So, but Barak says he wants Deborah to go with him. If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Well, she said, well, very well, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honour will not be yours. For the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him. And in verse 14, it says, Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down to Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. And notice this in verse 15, it says, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Syria, says to Sisera. So the minute we begin to advance, the Lord routs the enemy. I believe this is a day we need to advance as God's army. We need to go forth and begin to start speaking these words God wants us to speak. And I'm just going to jump over to Judges 5, because this is my favourite scriptures. Judges 5:6-7. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travellers took to winding paths. It wasn't safe to go on the roads. Now, we're going through a dangerous time in our nation, aren't we, at the moment? But this is a situation here. People abandoned the roads. They weren't travelling. They were going on byways, travelling on winding paths. And it says, village life ceased in Israel. Village life in Israel ceased. Ceased until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. I believe God's calling us to arise. I want to be like Deborah. I want to arise. Yeah? In this nation, will we, the church, arise? You know, we've got so much here. God has blessed us so much as a fellowship. He's imparted so much to us, hasn't he, in this place. I believe there is such an anointing here for corporate prayer if we will let the Holy Spirit come and do what he wants to do here. And we will bring him into our lives, into our prayer life. And it's really important where we're at spiritually as well when we're praying, that we keep in the right place, that our hearts are open to God, so that when we speak, you know, the enemy's going to be doing what we tell him to do. I believe, like I said before, the future of Christianity is in danger in this country. You know the story of Nehemiah, where there's a scripture that says, fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters. We need to fight for our children and grandchildren. Fight for the future of this nation. Fight for the future of Christianity. Contend for the faith. I'm just sharing with you today what I feel the Lord wants to say. And I think because we've got a little bit of time, I think it'd be really good for us to pray for our nation. Because it's only next week, isn't it? I really believe that this is a major, major time in our nation, and it's so important who rules this nation from now on, because they're going to need all the grace that God can and the wisdom that God can give, you know. And we want to see the right people, the right government in, don't we? The right prime minister. So if we could maybe get into little groups, and because obviously we've got Brexit coming up. Whoever goes in has got to deal with Europe, you know. We need to pray against fear and deception. We need to pray for protection on election day, the release of God's angels to be in the nation, the pushing back of the powers of darkness, that they won't influence the election. The God's will and purpose, what he wants to do at this major time in our nation, that's the right decisions. Come, kingdom of God. That's what we're praying at the moment, isn't it? Come, kingdom of God. Come, will of God. You know, let's pray like we've never prayed before for our nation. Amen. So if we could maybe just break up into groups of about four or five.